T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Normally, I let the Outcast play, but we are joined by Mike Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. It's kind of via the BetQL guest line, but he's actually standing next to me in the parking lot, but we'll still talk about BetQL and the BetQL app that you can check out on Odyssey. Go ahead and beat the books with those guys. Phillips, thank you for taking some time with us. B. Mitch and I are kicking around an idea, and I'm curious where you land on this. It feels to me that the public temperature is higher on Ron Rivera than it has been in his tenure here with Washington.
Yeah, I think that's self-inflicted, too, a lot of it, because Ron is standing by people that we perceive that Ron should not be standing by. You think about Jack Del Rio, what he's done with his defense. I mean, like, Jamin Davis came out, he did his Instagram post and all that, and I just for full disclosure here, I don't care. I really don't care. But Jamin Davis does his Instagram post, and I think the public perception was Jack needs to be playing him better. You know, these are guys Ron drafted. These are guys Jack's coaching. Ron's so loyal to these guys. Ron defends Carson after an indefensible football game. Ron's first comment at the podium on Sunday after the football game, we're going to look at some things, see how we can get him some more time to operate. You know what that does? That tells the offensive line, you've got Carson's back and not their back. I think the national narrative has been very accurate this week. Those 9 sacks were not on the offensive line. Not all on the offensive line.
Some of them got worked a little bit.
They were not all on the offensive line, though. And I think Ron is standing by people that we perceive that he should not be standing behind.
Well, but I think he does that because he went out there with a megaphone when they get the people to make sure you think, oh, this is our guy. But many people believe that on the low end, it was 4 of the sacks was Carson's fault. On the high end, 6 of them was his fault. So when you are the majority, per se, is your fault, then how do you not say with the offensive line, you know, and then he got to help the offensive line out too?
Yeah, and here's where I'll disagree from you guys, though. Here's where I'll differ. I think Ron thinks he can wait this out, and I think he's right. Now, I think they're going to win in Dallas this week. We can go into that if you want to go into that. But even if they don't win in Dallas this week, you got Tennessee and Chicago up. I think those are both beatable football teams, the way things are playing out here. You're still back at 3-3. We talked about this schedule all off season. The schedule is going to keep them afloat. And at 3-3, nobody gets fired going into that long weekend.
But the question before I ask is, what makes you think they're going to beat those teams? What have you seen?
Hold on, let's just start this week.
What have you seen from this team, especially last week, that tells you that they're going to be that? Because I think Cooper Kupp has looked way better than Carson Wentz.
Cooper Rush.
I saw a defense on Sunday that held until they had their back broken. They had 3 points on the first 3 drives against a very good Philly offense, gave up the 7 on a short field, a 25-yard field after the Carson fumble. They held. They held for a while until their back was broken. I saw a defense that improved. I've seen this year an offense that can distribute the ball efficiently. I didn't see that on Sunday because Carson Wentz had, I mean, arguably one of the worst games of his professional career.
But I've seen it. Do you think Carson reacted because it was the Eagles?
Absolutely. 100%. I'm not even going to entertain alternate roads here. I think that's part of why Ron was so mad about the Jimmy Garoppolo report. Like, I think he perceived that report was an attempt to get in his quarterback's head the morning of an important football game. I don't know that was 100% of why Carson
didn't play
well. His quarterback
is a 7-year guy. That shouldn't.
You got to do better.
Okay, so my whole
it shouldn't, but it did.
But this is like the parent who basically always takes their kid's side. Eventually, your kid got to make the right damn decisions. And Carson Wentz, as good as he was in 2017, that guy right there in 2017 didn't care about anything. Today, him playing against his old team affected him that much. I couldn't hitch my wagon to a guy like that.
Yeah, like, if you think it was because it was Philly and then the pressure started and things started snowballing, how can you bet on that guy to go to Dallas against Parsons and Lawrence and that pass rush?
It's just a game. It's just a normal game now. Like, there's not all of the Philly hype around it. There's not all the questions around it. I mean, like, this is who Carson is. I said this offseason. People got mad. Carson's worst moments have come in the biggest moments in games, in the highest pressure situation. Got to beat Jacksonville to make the playoffs. You know, big games in Philly. He's fine in normal run-of-play action. And that's all it is Sunday. We love Dallas week and we love the rivalry. Like, it's nothing though. It's not a needle mover. Like,
it may not be a needle mover.
It's a regular football game.
But for the most part, it's a mover. And this is a big week because it's a division game against the biggest rival, where a lot of people see that if you beat Dallas, they happy for that. You ain't got to win any more games. So if he got so worried about Philly, it's some hype with this game too.
So I hear what I want to be told. Like, I subscribe to the theory that whenever it seems like the world is ending in pro football, the world's probably not ending. And then you play another game the next week, and it's an opportunity to rewrite whatever the narrative is. And if they come back from Dallas and they're 2-2, I think things start to look a lot different. And folks are like, all right, they could be 4-2 in the next 2 weeks here. Like, all that can happen. But I do feel like your theory of Carson was awful, he's not that bad consistently, the next outing will look better, is perhaps ignoring the offensive line situation. And the defense, to your point, they held them scoreless in the first, the third, and the fourth quarters. Like, I don't think the defense played particularly bad against the Eagles. Devontae Smith made some all-world plays. Whew. But it's a big but here. I don't think they're going to be able to block. And I think whatever you think of Carson, I think the long windup, the wide base, the mental stuff that keeps him holding onto the ball, I don't see that stuff going away. And so ignoring Philly, ignoring what just happened, and ignoring the first half against Detroit, and ignoring the two picks against Jacksonville, I'll ignore all of that. Just from a direct matchup of this week's game, I don't like it.
You don't like it the other way, though? You don't think Cooper Rush is going to be on his butt just as much?
No! What is giving you – what makes you believe that's
he
the
gets
case?
Rid of the
is it Montez Sweat's
he gets
vaunted
rid of the ball in 2.3
zero
seconds.
Sack performance through three games?
If Montez Sweat doesn't get a sack this week, it's time to sound the alarm bells on Montez Sweat.
I think
– it's showtime.
Through three games
– it's showtime.
Jamin Davis is the better pass rusher than Montez Sweat.
That's incredible. It's showtime.
Now, Duron is playing at a really, really high level. I like John, but – from actually, like, we can zoom out a million directions and Ron the evaluator versus Ron the coach, and how is Jack still running this defense when there's been, you know, real, you know, regression since his first season. But tell me the formula to beating Dallas.
Yeah, I think you're beating Dallas by finding a way to get Carson enough time that he can throw the ball, and I don't think that's an incredibly large amount of time. I think that's just enough time to get Terry his route, to get Jahan Dotson his route. I don't think he needs 4 or 5 seconds in the pocket. He seems to think he does.
Right.
But I think there's ways to run a quick, efficient offense and then take a shot every now and then. Now, this would be a game where it'd be nice to have Brian Robinson, obviously, but I think Gibson has started to turn the corner a little bit. He looked a lot better than he did in week one. I think he got McKissick, and I think, you know, McKissick's a big player here in terms of picking up guys.
With Robinson out, and he's out at least this week.
Right.
And Jonathan Williams, when they put him in that third, I think it was a third and short.
Yep.
All he did was move a big old pile.
Yep.
And I would love to see more John Williams.
Sure.
I don't know why that – I'm kind of surprised that hasn't happened.
I'm also surprised that hasn't happened. I also wonder if that's part of this Ron – mind games thing where, like, we can't give up on our guys, you know, and, like, putting Jonathan Williams in is somehow, like, conceding on Gibson, which is fine, though, because that's not who Gibson is at this point. Like, you know, stop riding that train.
So we'll zoom back out now from Dallas. I love your confidence. You and I know each other pretty well. I think you know I am a believer of zigging when the world zags. The world is going to zag onto the Cowboys this week. Everybody thinks this is going to be a demolition. So I like your, in theory, mindset approaching this game. Specific to Ron.
Yeah.
You brought this up during the break. And B, I think you probably noticed this watching from the studio. He seemed more upset about the Jimmy Garoppolo story
than the loss.
In postgame.
It was the only time he got worked up at the presser.
How does that sit with you?
Ron has his hand in so many different areas. He's the He's the chef in all the – he doesn't have sous chefs. He's the only chef. Because you break this down. Like, St. Juice played better than William Jackson on Sunday, right? Like, what does that say? That says that they whiffed on a big free agent signing in William Jackson. Or they're not playing him correctly. They're not using him correctly. Like, all these possible options all trace back to the general manager, the coach who hires his assistant coaches. Like, it's Ron. Like, there aren't fans at the games. There are Eagles fans. Like, who's the de facto, you know, guy in charge of everything? It's Ron. Like, all roads lead back to Ron. And Ron wanted that. That's why Ron's here. Everybody wants that. Ron is here because he wanted that total power. But as things go poorly, when you say, you know, it's the player selection, it's the drafting, it's the way they're coached, it's the coaches you have, all roads lead back to Ron. And so naturally, when there's heat, and there's going to be heat after you get embarrassed by the Eagles at home. That was an embarrassing day of football.
That was an embarrassing defeat.
Every road you've got is got you got some roads that lead back to Dan on the FedEx Field side, but most of those roads are leading back to Ron.
I think you're getting that upset because of that report, okay, let's be real. Washington should have been trying to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo and any other quarterback this offseason. And if that happened,
they said they were.
But that should be something known. If you are that worked up because your quarterback may get messed up, I don't know how many people could keep having this faith in this guy who you got to basically coddle him 24/7.
Brian, the team president, who is not involved in football operations, by the way, he's the team president, has twice gone on Twitter
and I will
to
tell
defend
Jason
Carson
in his
Wentz
face that
against
are,
mean
you
media
it,
people.
You are making the damn dude, you're making it worse for him. By doing
you're
that, I
will it
tell,
worse.
I will tell Jason to his face, and I know you have people listening. Jason Wright, stop defending. Let these are grown ass men. Let them defend themselves. They know how to ignore stupidity. If they can't, then they're the wrong guy for the job.
Well, the only thing I would add to that, and we're joined by Mike Phillips from the Richmond Times-Dispatch here on B. Mitch and Finley. The only thing I would add with specifically defending Carson, and the Abraham thing was one thing because those questions had all been asked, and they hadn't played a game yet, etc. But, like, the follow-up, the one to Warren Sharp about when he threw the picks and then pointing out that everybody has ups and downs, but it's how you respond, like, I'd be careful, I'd be hesitant to go out on a limb after Carson has a good game and brag a heck of a lot, knowing the volatile nature of his career. Because the odds, and you guys know, I believe in the numbers suggest there's a bad game coming. And maybe that means there's a good one coming this week because last week was bad. Like, I get the ebb and flow of that. That Philly game last week felt different than any loss in the Rivera era.
It was, but I think because of the Carson factor, I think that's why you put it in a separate bin. I think that's why Ron was worked up. He knew his quarterback was in his own head, and he's somehow blaming Adam Schefter for it instead of, you know, whatever it is with Carson that made him get in his own head that day. You look at this, though. The people in the building I'm most worried about over the next 3 weeks, JP, are the offensive linemen. Because I think they're generally good at their job, and I think they're generally well-coached. But when you give up that many sacks, and you know some of them aren't on you, and the first thing your coach says at the podium is, we're going to look at some ways to get Carson more time. We're going to see how the protection was. I don't like it. When you see the team president get out of his lane to defend the quarterback who ran into four sacks, maybe six, I don't like that.
I don't like that.
I want to ask you this. Because
eventually, let me say it, as much as it seems like Ron has control over this team, eventually a man, and I'm saying that's a bunch of men on that offensive line, they only get blamed and slapped around so long before they speak up. And once the first person speaks up and other people get confident, it's going to be more than one. That's where it's going to be a problem.
He's got to keep them together.
And, I mean, it was either Snyder or Rivera. I don't remember which one of them wrote this. But interesting thing that has happened in the Rivera era up until this season is reporters weren't in locker rooms. Reporters didn't have access to players without microphones and cameras and Zoom. Now you can just talk to people. And one thing I know, B, and I imagine you have known this your entire career, hell, you played quarterback. If the offense isn't functioning, and the rest of the offense feels that it's because of the quarterback, it's one thing if it's not functioning because everybody's making mistakes. But if if basic offensive functions aren't occurring and they believe it's the QB and they believe the QB is getting backed up by the organization and leaving them out to dry,
problem.
That starts to go sideways, man. And it you don't need a history degree to know that, especially here in Washington. I would point to the demise of the RG3 era here. Yeah. When before Robert's knee injury, he was electric. He's the best playmaker this team has seen in the last 20 years.
Sure.
After the knee injury and after his reluctance to run, everything changed. But everybody still had to support him, and then you start to see fractures. And it's premature to suggest any of that is happening, but when there's an organizational decision to support the quarterback no matter what, and then the offense stops functioning at not even a high level, but a moderate level, you start to see fractures.
Hey, these guys are trying to get paid too, and these guys know if the offense doesn't work, that's going to cost them this offseason. Like it's a team. You want to win as a team. You want to win as a team because that's good for business. But this offseason, if you didn't put up numbers because the organization supported a guy who didn't bring the best out of you, that's tough.
If you look at it right now, everything that they're trying to move forward, they have put all their eggs in the Carson Wentz basket. From talking to the gambling commission, from the president to the coach who said he's our guy. We wanted him first. We know that's not the truth. But anyway, now all that stuff, you put it on a roller coaster ride, and they better hope he can get on a flat part of that roller coaster and stay there for a while, because he will dip and go up and dip and go up, and I don't know how many people just go with that.
I really think he's going to. I think he's good in Dallas.
All right, I think he could be good in Dallas too.
You better hope for me and your friendship. He's good in Dallas, Mike. I'm serious.
It's funny that you pointed that out. It is remarkable that the owner of the organization, in what I assume is like, I don't know if it's testimony, but it's a statement to a state gambling authorization board.
He was sworn in.
Felt the need to bring up the quarterback. Like, Dan didn't need to bring up Wentz in that situation.
At all.
That I imagine that situation is probably a formality. Where it's like, hey, you guys have a lot of money. The state stands to make some. Just let us know that you're in it, and we're good.
Good feelings,
here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, like, good vibes.
Like, that probably didn't require that verbose of a statement, and yet the owner to a state government board decided to bring up the quarterback. And so when we talk about 9 sacks, who are they backing up in that situation?
Is that perjury?
No,
I'm playing.
No, people will flip out. Let's not say that.
I know.
B, huh? if an offense is broken, does that lead to fractures? And let's be clear, it's entirely premature to suggest that the offense is broken.
Yeah.
But that is a dangerous path, correct?
But when you protect one, which in essence makes everyone assume that you're blaming the others, that causes fractures.
Phillips, thank you for your time, buddy. You want to tell everybody what you got working?
Yeah, Michael, PRTD. Go on my Twitter. Read David Teal's column from today. It's about a Virginia Tech kid. It's really sad. His dad got shot in Baltimore, but the way he's bounced back and persevered, it's a beautiful story. It's not even my story, but it's on our website. You should
okay.
go read it.
That sounds great. Check that out. Michael, PRTD. We will be right back. Ben White joins us at 11:45. Let's do a little phone line action. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Is the temperature hotter right now for Ron Rivera than it ever has been in his 3 years in D.C.? We'll also check in with the acute most Ashburn syndrome survivor, Jeff Walker. See where he's at. Don't go anywhere. It's B. Mitch Finley.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.